Today on Real Life Radio.
You young people who are on college campuses or high school campuses today, you need to be thinking, how am I going to affect my culture for God? And it doesn't mean you pull up your soapbox and start preaching on campus, but I do encourage you to do the absolute best you can in school, get the best grades you can. Why? Because God honors that. And then listen, go be the best engineer or the best landscaper or the best whatever that you can be in Christ.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, something that you should know, that in our church and in our media community, in the social media community, we have for decades, as a church, started every year off with the reading of the one-year Bible all the way through. So I'm encouraging you to join us and do the same. If you are not one of the tens of thousands of people that are actually on the same page with me, with my wife Lisa, with the church and beyond, the entire Real Life audience and beyond, get a copy of the one-year Bible and get started with us on January 1st. You can get a copy for yourself at jackhibbs.com, but by all means, please do this. And listen, get one for your friends or maybe a son or a daughter or a mom or a dad. The one-year Bible, through the Bible in 1 year together. Join us.
That's the one-year Bible, and it's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Life and Bible with a message titled Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 2. Christians on campus will face a whole lot of challenges both inside and outside the classroom. And this is why it's so important to stay deeply rooted and grounded in God's Word. You see, as we learned in Part 1, many Christian students lose their faith by the end of their fourth year in college. The reason is, well, they're constantly being bombarded with temptations and attacked for their biblical beliefs. Many are targeted and ridiculed by the so-called revisionists who rewrite history to promote their own belief system. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that we need to defend the Word of God on our campuses and promote pro-American capitalism. Now, this nation was founded upon freedom, and all of us, not just students, need to stand up for the truth. Now, with his message called Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This world has fallen. However, you cannot refute the fact that wherever people believe God and the Bible and apply it to day-to-day living in the world, people are taken care of, people are loved, people are nursed, people are brought back to health, or people are established, and a community cares and watches out for one another. Why? Because those are Judeo-Christian values that make up a culture. You and I and our children are creating a culture right now. The question begs, what kind of a culture are we creating? This is very, very important. You young people who are on college campuses or high school campuses today, you need to be thinking, how am I going to affect my culture for God? And it doesn't mean you pull up your soapbox and start preaching on campus. But I do encourage you to do the absolute best you can in school. Get the best grades you can. Why? Because God honors that. And then listen, go be the best engineer or the best landscaper or the best whatever that you can be in Christ. It's very important. And I said last time, remember Genesis 1:27, God created us in his own image. The word in Hebrew means God gave us the moral likeness that he has. You love, you dream, you have aspirations, you have compassion. Now, sadly, because we're fallen, for example, God hates with a perfect hatred, and we can't even relate to that. You say, what is that? Oh, yeah, it's true. God hates with a perfect hatred. What does he hate? Does he hate me? No. He hates evil with a perfect hatred. That's how good he is. His hate is even good. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Oh, he's angry with the wicked. Yes, he's angry with the wicked, but the Bible also says that his hand is stretched out and he pleads, why will you die? Come, turn to me, saith the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's not a contradiction just because we can't see it. It is the totality of God because he is holy. And he's altogether other than what you and I are. For those of you who don't want anything to do with that or can't fathom that, think of this. God is the ultimate alien. He is God. The Bible says in that he is spirit. And a big miracle happened, the biggest in my opinion of all, that is for him to come to earth, he put on human skin. That freaks me out. It's amazing. Point number five, Western civilization versus barbarism. Western civilization versus barbarism. This is something that our kids are contending with in school. The Bible says in Matthew 28:19, listen, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What does that mean? Tell them about Jesus. And if they say yes to Jesus, teach them in the ways of Christ. That's the greatest thing you could do for any people, any country. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The American Judeo-Christian culture, my friend, tonight is in crisis. Part of the crisis is because the church has cashed in the Bible for seeker-friendly pep talk lectures instead of sermons. Charles Spurgeon called them sermonettes for Christianettes. By the way, he said that over 150 years ago. We have a new age Christian spirituality, self-help world going on in so-called church. Instead of Christians ingesting the Bible, we're reading this book and 12 steps to that and the purpose-driven life. And the, hey, you want a purpose-driven life? Read your Bible. That'll purpose drive you. All this stuff. What are we doing? Jeremiah 12, verse 5 says, let me read it in the Old King James. You say, man, that's weird language. Well, listen, I know it's old, but it is really cool right here. Jeremiah 12, 5 says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein you trusteth, they wearied you, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? God is saying, listen, you live in a culture that's changing right beneath your feet. And if you've gotten tired resisting evil right now, God says, you haven't seen nothing yet. Oh man, I'm so pooped. Oh, I can't believe it. I had to call my congressman. And that doggone pastor, he told us twice this month to call Dianne Feinstein to let my senator know I want her to vote yes or no on this or that. I'm so pooped. Are you kidding? Are you tired in the land of peace? What are you going to do when the chariots arrive? What are you going to do when it gets tough? Jack, you're not encouraging me. Our culture's changing. Our culture's changing. Before I show you this clip, you guys want to get it queued up? How many of you are Christians tonight? Raise your hand. Well, either there's a lot of you or there's a lot of liars in here tonight. You guys, I'm going to show you your future. Are you ready? Okay, I'm going to show you your future. No.
According to research, in order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself. And there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren as grandparents. If only 1 million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026. As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8. England, 1.6. Greece, 1.3. Germany, 1.3. Italy, 1.2. Spain, 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining. Why? Immigration. Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, 1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, that number has grown to 45%. By 2027, 1 in 5 Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim. And in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's 1 out of 5 Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated 1/3 of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 17 years away. The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying, "The fall in the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe without swords, without guns, without conquest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million. 1.2 of those, immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million. The world is changing. It's time to wake up. 3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more. They said, "We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live." The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world. As believers, we call upon you to join the effort to share the gospel message with the changing world. This is a call to action.
Powerful statistics. Cultural change, cultural shift.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
How many of you have children, 2.11 kids? Raise your hand if you have 2.1. We have two kids. That's still not enough to sustain or to advance the culture. How many of you have three kids? Raise your hand right now. Well, how many of you have four kids? Raise your hand. Wow, you're encouraging. How many of you have five kids? Raise your hand. Do I dare go higher? Six kids? More than seven kids? Seven kids. Do I hear seven kids? Hey, we have seven, more than seven kids. Wow. Ushers, get that couple of metal now. What does all that mean? Cultural change, cultural shift. Keep this in mind. You might be sitting here tonight saying, "I don't care, that's fine. We, you know, whatever. Whoever makes the most babies wins." That's exactly true. That's exactly true. But what's the culture going to be like? What does that culture that's becoming dominant believe? And what has that culture done, I ask you, in other countries where it has become dominant? Look at the other nations. Look at the other countries. Why? Because we're looking at a cultural shift in civilizations. And you just saw the data. By the way, I was talking to a German pastor last week from Germany. Obviously, he's a German pastor. And he said, "Yeah, I saw that video." And he said, we in Germany, as our government has announced, it's impossible for us to recover. We'd have to have something like five kids per family." And he said, "We don't do that. Our economy can't sustain that." It's amazing. Cultural change. Point number six, being a Christian and being on campus today, pro-life versus anti-life. You say, "Anti what?" Anti-life. This is my slide. I put up anti-life. Pro-life versus anti-life. That's what it is. You have to be honest about it. Pro-life versus anti-life. That's a big deal. Now listen to this. If there are any biology majors in here tonight, I want you to just listen up on something. This is really basic, but listen. According to just raw science is just the data you gather without interpretation, just raw science, no bias. When does a dolphin become a dolphin? You know a dolphin. When does a dolphin become a dolphin? I need an answer. If you're in the science class, if you're in a biology class, you got to answer that question. When does, you say, "Well, you know what? It's tissue." Okay. But that's just on the surface. Strip away the tissue and dive into it. What's in the code? When is it a dolphin? DNA. Yeah, exactly. When two worlds collide, when an egg and a sperm collide, the information's there in totality. It's a dolphin. If you, by the way, you say, I don't like what you're saying. Doesn't matter. If you pull that out and you didn't label it dolphin, you didn't put dolphin on it, and you walked into the lab next door and you set it down and you had all the students in there say, "Tell me what that is." They would love the challenge. They would dive into it and figure out, what do we got here? And they would report back to you and say, what would they say? "We've got a dolphin here." That's raw science. If you're going to do research on a monkey embryo, that monkey embryo, all the data there is going to announce that it's a monkey. You can call it anything you want. If you get an egg, a chicken egg, And that egg's fertilized. There's evidence that it's fertilized within an instant. You can watch it happen in a microscope, electron microscope. The Bible says in Psalm 139, 16, your eyes saw my substance, God, yet being unformed. And in your book, they are all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts toward me, O God, how great is the sum of them. God says, I know you and I knew you before you were even assembled. And God says, I'm in the womb when you're being assembled. Anti-life on our school campuses says things like this. It's my life. Only my life matters to me. As long as I can make my own decisions and do my own thing, it's all about me, and then I'm going to do away with this tissue. Listen, a lot of kids today believe that because they've been told it's just tissue, you can do away with it. It's like an infection. Just get it out. Go and take care of it. I want to give you a verse. This is a serious verse. Remarkable verse. Micah 6, verse 7 says, will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams? I mean, I'll just wash my hands over and over again, or I'll just give him all the money or give him everything I can. Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams? 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my sin? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? You see, pro-life, you guys, just intellectually, the moment someone becomes pregnant, that is a miracle from God, he says. And that life's to be defended. You see, Jack, I can't keep the baby. I got to put the baby up for adoption. But listen, God says, I'm there, man. I honor life. I rejoice, by the way. I thank God. In the last 7 years, recent statistics nationwide in America, guess who's becoming the real defenders of the unborn? It's not my age group. It's not the boomers, the baby boomers, who have turned into the baby bummers. You know who's defending the unborn now? The young people, the young generation. That, my friend, is amazing. It's incredible what's going on. Point number 7, on the college campus, you deal with sexuality and humanity. Well, you say, what do you mean sexuality versus humanity? That's exactly what I mean. Human sexuality versus humanity. You say, how can human sexuality compete against humanity? It's very simple. Very simple. Students are being bombarded today with misinformation. In school books, teachers and systems promoting personal agendas, what's popular, what's culturally trendy, and yet historically dangerous. Human sexuality has been designed by God. Did you know that? How many of you are males in here? Raise your hand. You're a male. Don't raise your hand halfway. How many girls are in here? You're female. Raise your hand. Did you know there's enough people right here, right now? Not right now. But there's enough people here. There's enough people here to populate the earth. You think about that. Of course, you have to do what? 2.11%. That's just to sustain. You gotta make kids. But how do you make kids? I'm not gonna get into the details of that tonight. But how do you make kids? This is a very serious thing, because if you're in a sociology class, you gotta figure this one out, man. In a sociology class, trends can really upset your science, okay? Because, listen to this, Genesis 1:21 says, so God created great sea creatures and everything living that moves with which the waters abound according to their kind. Hello, that's amazing. The Bible says according to their DNA. He made sea creatures according to their DNA, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its DNA. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea, of the fish, and over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Ordered reproduction is how a species continues after its own kind.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. here on Real Life Radio with his message called Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 2. We're glad you're with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a series on how to apply God's Word to the everyday challenges of the Christian life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Today, more and more Christ followers are living out their faith no matter what. And one way we can help is through our website. At jackhibbs.com/realradio, you'll find access to Pastor Jack's devotions, YouTube channel, podcasts, Facebook, live-streamed events, and so much more. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. And don't forget to download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.